Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is Hagman. Welcome to Hagman. It is the 31st day of October 2022. I'm Doug Hagman, of course, taking you through some information, some headlines, some stories that, you know, I'll tell you what, one of the adages or one of the rules that we have here is don't jump on stories right away. Incidents that come out. I mean, unless, of course, it's a nuke, you know, that goes off. Wait until, in our view, wait until some of the stories have had some time to, coalesce, see what the initial reports are versus subsequent reports, and make an evaluation from that. Such is the story, very strange story, involving the number three in line of the White House, to the White House, that is, Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi. Remember Paul Pelosi, back on May 28th of this year, was arrested in a DUI incident. And let me make this clear. In August of this year, August 23rd, to be precise, Paul Pelosi was convicted in Napa County Superior Court for DUI. It was based on an automobile collision and driving under the influence from the arrest of May 28th, 2022. Now, what happened to Paul Pelosi? The judge sentenced Pelosi to, I believe it's like 7 or 8 conditions. Number one, he's placed on summary probation for 3 years. Oh boy. Pay a $1,723 court fine, serve 5 days in jail, which was essentially time served. Submit to a blood, breath, or urine test if requested by law enforcement while driving, subsequent driving. Pay nearly $5,000 in victim restitution for medical bills and lost wages. And there were a few other things. I'm not going to get into all of them. Obviously, he's got a situation. He's got a problem. Now, how can I put this? A distant family member was, right around that same time, was arrested for DUI and without a collision and was sentenced to a year in jail, a day shy of a year, so he could serve it in county, plus a $5,000 fine. What do you think of that? What do you think of the two-tier justice system that we're seeing right now? Oh, and I should add, that was the first offense. And I should add, there was no property damage. But now we're seeing something a little bit different. Now we're seeing a closing argument by the left. An incident involving Paul Pelosi, yet again, that is being used as a closing argument by the left to make the Make America Great Again collective to be the bad people, to incite violence. We are inciting violence against the people who are trying to do this country well. That's the story. Let's address this, if you don't mind, shall we? While we wait for John Moore to come on. This is the first week of the month, not the first full week, but the first week of the month, calendar-wise, for the most part. So we're going to have John Moore on, and I appreciate his accommodating my schedule. Let's go to video clip one. For those who don't know, over the end of last week, 2 o'clock in the morning, I believe it was 2 o'clock Friday morning, again, which is why this was not addressed initially. During the day, we heard things about breaking and entering into the Pelosi home and such. Okay. Let's see how this plays out. So at 2:27 in the morning Friday, last Friday, San Francisco Police Department received a 911 call. Apparently a 911 call. Apparently from the Pelosi home. Apparently by Paul Pelosi, whose cell phone was in the bathroom, based on an apparent home invasion. I say apparent, alleged, because none of this can be really, none of this is, honestly, I don't know what to make of this, except I do know this. There are a whole lot of people who are lying. Because when the story doesn't make sense, when the facts don't match up, there are a whole lot of people lying. Let's go to clip number one. This is a clip not of the 911 call, or not of the call to the police, not of the wellness check in quotation marks call. This is a recording of the dispatchers, the dispatcher to the mobile units responding to this 911 call or this call to the Pelosi residence. Let's take this one step at a time. Listen to this. Listen to what is said. We might play it twice. It's only 15 seconds long because this is important. What you hear is important. Again, from a law enforcement perspective, okay, you've got the dispatcher. You've got the information going to dispatch. You've got the information going from dispatch to the mobile units, to the police officers, responding police officers, based on the information received from the call. That's what this is. Let's take a listen and take a look at this.
Hey, priority 910, 2640 Broadway, cross of Scott and Normandy. Hey, 14 hour copy. RP stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. RP sounded somewhat confused. So we're back and copy.
Okay.
Yes, code 3 to 2640 Broadway.
Sorry, I guess a little premature there. You got the gist of that, right? That he didn't know who this guy is, but he said his name is David and is a friend. Sounding a little bit confused. Yeah, I would be too. Eric the Tech, by the way, happy Monday. What'd you make of that, if anything?
It's kind of hard to hear.
Okay. Let's play this again. Go ahead. Oh, hang on a second. Again, listen carefully. And so give me a yell because I don't want to talk over this. Okay. All right. Here it is.
Hey, priority 910, 2640 Broadway, cross of Scott and Normandy. Hey, 14 hour copy. RP stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. RP sounded somewhat confused. So we're back and copy.
Yes, code 3 to 2640 Broadway for 14 hour.
Cover 12 hour copy. 15 hour also code 3.
Everyone call advice and sufficient units on scene 2640 Broadway.
All right. Again, you've got a call originating from the residence saying, hey, there's somebody here, don't know who it is, but no, it's his name's David and he's a friend. Now, if I was a responding cop, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what I would do. Say again, dispatch.
David's here. He's just hanging out.
Well, the story gets a little bit even more weird. Let's go to video clip two. This from today. This is from John Cardillo, I believe. I wrote this correctly. I hope I got this right. It's from John Cardillo. He was on with Steve Bannon today, and he's former NYPD. He gets it. He understands. You know, when the key fact patterns are not, they don't make sense, then someone is lying. And I got to tell you right now, someone is lying. This whole thing stinks because, and here's the importance of this whole thing. You've got the left media. You've got the left media blaming MAGA, blaming Trump, blaming the right just days before the midterms. And you've got the media, in addition to everything else, the media that is helping with the spin. Let's take a listen to what John Cardillo's got to say. Watch this. And then we're going to bring John Moore on for his take on this, get his law enforcement experience, if you will, his background, his experience, his take on this, and how bad we are being spun in this narrative. And I want to show I want to show you and the audience, as well as John, some additional news that came out over the weekend that may or may not be true. And here's John on Bannon today.
And so much to unpack, Steve. So much to unpack. All right. So it's first of all, why aren't we seeing any body camera footage? We know back in 2016 there was an executive order mandating body cameras for San Francisco PD officers. That was a responding agency. That's number one. Number two, as recently as May of this year, San Francisco PD immediately released body camera footage in an officer involved shooting. And only about 3.5 weeks ago, right around September 20th, the San Francisco PD got authority to immediately access private surveillance cameras, your Ring doorbell. Forget the city cameras on the lamppost. That store across the street with surveillance with a surveillance system within. So there are multiple camera angles here.
John, brother, they're worth $250 million. Forget the Capitol Hill Police. I don't want to get into that conversation. Ridiculous. These people are worth $250 million. Pacific Heights is one of the most prestigious addresses in America. Are you telling me they don't have a great security system and maybe a couple of three rent-a-cops? John Cardillo.
Yeah, look, I think it's inconceivable that the person third in line for the presidency doesn't have a local police detail. And even if she says to local police, OK, I don't want the detail on my husband, give him some privacy. There are still going to be patrol cars with police officers in them, Steve, within a block, within a second's response time. The entire fact pattern of the case makes no sense whatsoever. Now, the third person, very interesting what the DA, Brooke Jenkins, said. She didn't say there was never a third person. She said there was a third party did not open the door. And at the time police arrived, there was no third party present. You got to read into the nuances of this one. She's never said there wasn't. Her statements are really telling, right? I mean, but then again, this is the same party that told us a sitting president was a Russian spy. This is the same party that hasn't indicted Hunter Biden, that never arrested anyone in Jeffrey Epstein's black book. So do we believe this DA? She also says, well, there's no evidence that Mr. Pelosi knew the assailant. But there's a 911 call where the 911 dispatcher speaking to Pelosi is relaying to police. He says the man's name is DePape, David DePape. He's a friend. So what is it? Did he not know the guy or was the guy a friend? And then she says that the caller, Pelosi, was disoriented. And
all right. That was John Cardillo, the former NYPD, talking to Steve Bannon today. That was today. Earlier this weekend, this came out, CNN exclusive, and this is really interesting. I find this interesting. Suspect in Paul Pelosi attack had bag with zip ties, source says. I'm looking at this right now. The man who is alleged to have attacked Paul Pelosi, the husband of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, says right here, with a hammer and a couple of San Francisco home, had with him a bag that contained multiple zip ties, among other things. Okay. Now, this David DePape, 42, faces charges of attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, burglary, and other felonies. Also, to get John's take, since the doc cam is not functioning right now at the moment, let's go to, oh, there it is right there. I guess I could have just called for it. But here's the article from CNN. This is dated the 30th. or this was published on the 30th. And so it seems as well, too, that there were reports in this or another news article that the attacker was in his underwear, as was Pelosi. Now, I can excuse Pelosi for being in his underwear at 2:30 in the morning in his own house. I get that. But then you've got reports of the attacker being in his underwear. And I should add this. The assault took place after the cops had arrived. When the cops got there, this David DePape and Pelosi were struggling for a hammer. And this DePape reportedly took the hammer and smacked Paul on the head, Paul Pelosi on the head. Again, the picture that's being created, two guys in their underwear wrestling over a hammer at 2:30 in the morning. Oh, and the other part, where the call came from reportedly the bathroom, when Paul Pelosi said, yeah, I gotta hit the head, basically. None of this makes any friggin' sense. And let's show attachment 1, 2, 1 and 2, and then 3 for John, for his commentary. Now, look, you don't have to be Columbo or Sherlock Holmes. I would throw this as exhibit 1. Take a look at that. That's reportedly where, now again, this is more implied by law enforcement than stated. This is where the invasion took place. The entry was made. You can see the hole in the glass. Let's go to picture 2, attachment 2. There you go. Can you see that? Folks, you notice anything wrong with that? Eric the Tech, any comments about that? Anything
the debris is on the outside?
Hey. There you go.
I get my cookie?
Get your cookie and you can keep your badge.
Can I get a hammer too?
It's hammer time. Okay, so look, you don't have to be a detective to take a look at that and say, wait a second. That, whatever struck that window came from the interior, not the exterior, with the glass being on the outside. And, oh, okay, so you're telling me the number 3 to the White House. You're telling me that there's little security. And Cardillo was right, too. Show me the body cams. I want to see the body cams of the cops. And if you think that there's no security cameras at the house, now, here at the studio, we've got security. Every square inch of this studio, inside and out, is on video, with the exception of the bathrooms. All right. This could be cleared up. But it's not being cleared up. It's being muddied up. John from JohnTheLibertyMan.com, accommodating my schedule, I want to thank him for that. Folks, go to TheLibertyMan.com. If you haven't done so already, make sure you listen to all of his radio shows. He's got a wonderful radio show every single day, Monday through Friday, that is. You can listen to The John Moore Show live on RBN from 7 to 10 Central Time. If you want the real time, it's 8 to 11 Eastern Time. It's every weekday morning. By the way, John's videos are on Rumble, and an audio only on Stitcher. You can listen live by going to thelibertyman.com and click the link and then dig down. And if you scroll down on his webpage, show prep, baby, look at this. Latest intelligence briefing. You've got all sorts of different sources of information, plus support him by his products. I'm really interested in Harvest Right freeze drying at home. I would urge everyone to do that as well. You can do that through thelibertyman.com. John, thanks for being patient, and thank you so much for your graciousness as my schedule has been upended. How are you, sir?
Good to be here, Doug. It's been about 2 months since I've been on the air with you.
Yeah, I know. However, I think one was your fault, but I can't remember.
It was. I had a
Yeah, that's fine.
No excuse.
Well, anyway, it's good. It's good to have you. Look, go wherever you want. I start out with Pelosi because that's their closing argument for, in my view, for the midterms. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I look at it as a side issue in a greater scheme of things. Paul Pelosi and what he's doing is a side issue. It's interesting. It's salacious. Eric's analysis of the broken glass is absolutely right on. The glass is on the outside rather than the inside.
Yep.
The police are, in my opinion, clearly covering up for Paul Pelosi. And I doubt the police body cams are going to be released. It's highly unlikely. The suspect is a convicted felon. I believe he's a Canadian national.
Yes.
With a kind of unusual past, I believe.
yeah.
I don't, you know, and considering what we have to deal with, Doug, I think it's, people want to pay attention to it and devote time to it. God bless them for doing so. I'm personally not going to do that. Initially, it looked like it was a break-in, but there was no break-in. The police audio recording clearly shows that Paul Pelosi knew this guy, and we can speculate on the relationship between these two men, what they were doing, what they weren't doing. Blood alcohol content and drug testing for both people, both Paul and the gentleman, would have been, I think, consequential if that had been done, which I doubt it.
Yeah, and let me be clear. The only reason I opened with this and wanted to just talk about this briefly is because two reasons. Number one, we as conservatives, Christians, MAGA, Make America Great Again followers, or those people who want to keep America great or make America great again, are being blamed for this violence. They're saying this was an attempted kidnap or attempted assassination of Pelosi. And again, I refer to that as the closing argument of the left for the midterms. Look how bad we are. That's a reason why.
Well, if there was any truth to it, that would be very significant, but there's not.
No, there's not. But Mika and Joe today are full of it.
Right. Right. There's no demonstrable evidence whatsoever that this man from Canada had any connection or support of the Trump campaign or Republicans or anything else. Most likely he's politically neutral, quite frankly. But if left can drum up something out of thin air to make it look like he was a MAGA supporter, they'll do that, won't they?
Well, again, you know, Mika Brzezinski, morning, Joe. Joe Scarborough, dead intern in my office, no questions asked. I got to tell you, they're saying all of this, this is the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot, you know, part two. This is what we, you and I, are doing to rile up the base, the Make America Great Again people, to go against the left. And that's what they're saying. So in addition to Mika and Joe, that you've got seriously tens, dozens of people saying the same thing that have some leverage in the leftist Biden regime. So I just want to say that, but go ahead. And
I think you could also say this is Jesse Smollett, number two.
Yeah, there you go.
Probably a closer analogy. But Doug, there's a lot of things that we can discuss in our limited time.
Go for it, brother. I'm all ears.
Well, I'm very optimistic about what will happen a week from tomorrow with the midterm elections. The smart money seems to be on the conservative Republicans taking over the House of Representatives, and highly likely that they will control the Senate as well. The House by itself, assuming the men and women elected truly are conservative Christian patriots and not subject to being threatened or bribed to become something else, will stop the Biden administration in its tracks, because whatever the Biden administration wants to do, they can't do it without money. And all money spending authority has to come from the House of Representatives first. It can't be initiated by the Senate. So the conservative Christian patriots, if they do control the House of Representatives, they can shut down money spending. Biden can do all he wants, but if there's no money to make it happen, it's not going to happen. And that's where we are. So I want to take this moment to encourage all our listeners to make sure that they get to the polls, that they have conservative Christian friends that need help, need childcare, need transportation, whatever, that they get those folks to the polls a week from today. And if you have to stand in line an hour or 2 hours or even 3 hours, well, bring a stool. And do whatever it takes. I've stood and ran for an hour waiting to vote in the past. And it's a duty. It's an obligation. It's not just an honor or a privilege. It's a duty and it's an obligation to vote, regardless of the circumstance. And I believe, Doug, there's going to be enough turnover of voter fraud to not take place in enough states that we can actually do some good these midterm elections, Doug. I really do firmly believe that. There's going to be block parties at these drop boxes all over the country. The left and the what I call the communist, socialist, Democrats, Muslims, they will attempt to say that people are being terrorized or intimidated when people are just having barbecue and drinking coffee at these drop boxes in the middle of the night while they're recording what's going on. That didn't happen. The documentary 2000 Mules has waken up America, among other things. And as a consequence of that documentary, there will be block parties at drop boxes all over the country where people will politely and discreetly at a distance record people that are dropping ballots in these boxes, making sure that they only drop one ballot in as opposed to 8 or 10 or 20, which we've seen that. I'm sure you've seen the documentary, haven't you, Doug?
Oh, a couple of times, yes.
Right, right, exactly. And also we have some slots open for the firearms training that is helping support you at Freedom Center USA. I want to encourage people to go to Freedom Center USA and one of the websites is freedomtrain.org. I say again, freedomtrain.org, and sign up for that class to help support Doug. That would be a great thing.
And more importantly, or equally important, is to get trained for what is coming. I believe what we're going to be seeing right now, you know what, John, I see some not so nice things happening as we...
Well, Doug, let me help you out here. Desperate people do desperate things.
There you go. Thank you.
Now, what I call the opposition, socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims, they've had a plan for decades, going back to just after World War I, to overtake our country and overthrow it. Now, those plans were really close. President Trump upset those plans dramatically. What happened with the election and 2020, not quite 2 years ago, has waken up a lot of people to the true nature of what we're facing. And the opposition, the socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims, they see their one century old plan falling apart at the same. They see that. Even if President Trump does not go back in office, we're going to have a Republican president equally as good, possibly Governor DeSantis, for example, would be a good possibility that will basically duplicate what President Trump would do if he was returned to office. And that's cleaning up the swamp. President Trump receives a lot of criticism for what he did not do his 4 years in office. A tremendous amount of time and energy was spent dealing with the swamp, the continuous attacks, the make-believe attack, they weren't make-believe attack, but the make-believe evidence of Russian collusion and so forth, being impeached twice. We've never had two impeachments of any president in the last 200 years. It's never happened, to my knowledge. Despite that, President Trump was able to revive the military, which has since been reversed dramatically, appoint a couple of 100+ federal judges that are young enough to be doing good work for decades in the future because these federal judges tend to stay until they retire, and many other good things that President Trump did. And something President Trump really needs to do if he wants to hold office again is to come clean on why he supported the COVID vaccination. That really, really needs to happen. It's Tucker Carlson, I'm a big fan of Tucker, went public about 6 weeks ago with the demonstrable fact that the COVID vaccination clot shots are killing people and disabling people and having women have spontaneous abortions and having men be sterile so they can't have babies. So President Trump really, really needs to go public on what happened. Was he deceived? Was he threatened? Did he do this in good faith, thinking it was the right thing to do, supporting the COVID clot shot? I'm sure that many tens of thousands of Americans went ahead and took the clot shot based on President Trump supporting it. That needs to change. Even Levine has gone public against the clot shots, even though he initially supported and got at least one himself.
Well, look, I'm all in favor of getting some answers from President Trump as to why, you know, why isn't he coming out and saying, wait a second, this is all effed up. You shouldn't be doing this. There was a mistake made. In fact, not mistakes, but on my part, mistakes. I listened to the wrong people, but the people that were giving me the information are bad people. I don't know why he's not saying that, but.
Well, he needs to.
Yeah.
He needs to do, what's the Latin word, mea culpa?
Let's go back to the election that you were talking about. Look, I agree with you. Okay. I think we can out, how can I put this? I think we can show up and really, we can make a difference and make it so even their most aggressive algorithms gets put to the wayside, and we can win. But we're fighting, for example, here in Pennsylvania. You're not going to know the results because of the machine count because of the mail-in ballots for certainly not on election day. And it might be a couple of days, maybe even a week. And then here's the other thing, too. You just had an election in Brazil using machines. Bolsonaro, the guy most similar to President Trump, loses by a point. It was almost like the same pattern as 2020. And then the third thing, and this gets my goat more than anything else, and I don't know whether, you know, how much you're read in on this, is the machines in, I know for a fact, let me see, machines in Michigan, okay? There's a company called Konech, Konnech. Okay, they filed a lawsuit against two people from True the Vote. Okay, now True the Vote is attempting to keep our elections honest. Okay, so Konnech filed this lawsuit, this defamation lawsuit against Catherine Engelbrecht, who's founder of True the Vote, and another individual for defamation, for contempt, ultimately for contempt, while the head of Konnech, the plaintiff in this case, was arrested or was, hang on here. Was arrested and charged by the Los Angeles district attorney on allegations of storing government data. I'm talking about voting data in China in breach of its contract. So, what the, you know, can we get through all this? I mean, to me, it's real simple. You take a flipping piece of paper, you take a pen or a number two pencil, you mark your stuff, you hand it to somebody, they count it, people watch them count, and the story. Why do we have to go through all this other crap? Go ahead, sir.
Well, that's a good question. It brings to mind, Doug, been about 10 years ago, I did a presentation at the home of the former president of the Bank of the Philippines, outside Manila, the equivalent of our Federal Reserve. One of the one of the guests there was a Filipino doctor who spent 6 months a year making bucks full of money in the United States, 6 months a year helping his people in the Philippines. And he says, "Oh, John, we're going to have electronic voting machines." I said, "Doctor, please, please, doc, that's not what you want. I know you want to appear to be a first world country with all the modern technology. What you need is paper ballots counted at the precinct. That's what you need. Preferably," I didn't say a thing because I didn't consider it, but thanks to Sam Andrews, paper ballots with a self-carbon copy that you keep yourself. The voter keeps a self-carbon copy counted at the precinct. It may sound primitive, which it is. It may sound old-fashioned, which it is. On one hand, it's the best way to prevent fraud because you have to have fraud at every precinct in order to pull that off, or a lot of precincts. And that's difficult to do. It's expensive to do. It's dangerous to do. And for all our listeners, we have more than 3,300 counties and, of course, 50 states. I'd like to see legislation in all 50 states mandating paper ballots with a self-carbon copy counted at the precinct. That would throw a monkey wrench in all these schemes to have vote fraud, Doug, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. It should. And it must. To you.
Absolutely. Things that have been implemented over the past couple of decades, like motor voter, where you register your license plate or renew your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. I'm against those things. I really am. Voting should be a matter of citizenship that people should take seriously. Take seriously enough to take off a couple of hours from work to go to the designated government office and register to vote. It's not a hardship. It's something that we've done for nearly 200 years until all these easier ways to vote came, to register to vote, such as when people sign up for welfare, they register to vote. They register the car, they register to vote. And all these ways that make it oh so easy for people to vote who never would otherwise. It also puts people on the list that if they choose not to vote, there could be a vote cast on their behalf by people they don't know. And I think there's a lot of that going on, don't you, Doug?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You know, if you don't have an ID, you don't get the vote, in my view. If you don't show up, if you are not absolutely disabled, okay, then you've got to show up on voting day, not a week before, not to, now it's voting day, one day, one vote, you show up, you vote, you show your ID, again, number two pencils, yeah, self-carbon, that great, you take your receipt and you're on your way. It's not that friggin' hard, okay? But these bastards who have taken over our country, have infiltrated our country, the bastards like this judge that are tossing True the Vote people in jail for contempt. That's a whole different story there.
That's a badge of courage, honor. If you're a journalist and you go to jail to protect your sources, that's a badge of honor within the community of journalists worldwide. And it takes courage to do that. And I applaud them for doing so. I've never been in that position myself, but I have confidential sources. And it's the nature of journalism that if you don't protect your confidential sources, you're not going to have any confidential sources.
Would you give one up? Would you give a confidential? No. Of course
no.
Not. Of course
not. Not going to happen.
But see, with True the Vote, what is absolutely mind-blowing about this is, first of all, the individual that they are protecting shouldn't be protected. This is a deep, long story. It should not be being protected. There's a lot of chicken crap there, but the fact of the matter is, you got a company that was just the owner of the company, Eugene Yu, gee, huh? Well, that sounds a little Chinese, but anyway, storing data in China, yet suing True the Vote for defamation. You just can't make this crap up. What I want to know from John Moore is what happens if we don't win? Because I see a lot of people just saying, oh, man, we got it in the bag. It's going to be.
No, it's not in the bag at all. Not at all.
So what happens when Pennsylvania is stuck with Fetterman, the Goonie? Right? Is it a Goonie?
Probably Oz isn't that much better.
Yeah, Oz, yes, yeah. But we need Mastriano in there. We need Mastriano. But what there's Fetterman relaxing at home, apparently. But what happens when we wake up in the morning on the 9th and everything's the same or worse? Then what? John, what do we do?
Well, we take care of ourselves. We take care of our families. What we've been experiencing the past 2 years will only grow worse. Price of fuel going up, price of food going up, all the issues with our economy. We will continue to deplete our national tactical reserves of weapons we need to defend this country going through the useless war in Ukraine. These weapons just don't pop up out of the ground. These sophisticated weapon systems can't be turned out all that quickly. The production lines, it's not like cranking out Ford pickup trucks. It's a slow production line to get these things manufactured and in the warehouses ready for our military to use. So all that makes us more vulnerable. The depletion of our national oil reserves, the national stockpile that's meant for warfare, not for use to change the price of fuel. Everybody needs to recall was the first 24 hours, I believe, Joe Biden taking office, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah. And as reported in the Epoc Times, Wednesday, October 26th, right here, if you want to turn this on, diesel supply at only 25 days. Look at this. Biden administration response not helping, analyst says. What happens when this goes down? What happens when
everything goes down? It's not just trucks. It's also the barges that move the barge traffic up and down these rivers.
Yeah.
It's this without diesel fuel, this country comes to a screeching, grinding halt, is what happened. And I don't know how true these reports are about a 25-day supply, but that's a little more. Well,
total national stockpile standing around 106.187 million barrels, down about 34% since Biden took his seat.
That would be around Thanksgiving, give or take a few days.
Yep.
That would shut down the country.
It certainly would.
No doubt whatsoever. And people would be scrambling to get the things they need, to get food, to get medical supplies. The trains run on diesel, of course. They're diesel electric. These coal-fired plants require 100 car train loads of coal. Once a week or so, it's a lot. When the coal's gone, it's gone. They have maybe a week supply on hand in case the trains are slow or something. So the power grid is dependent on coal. Our food is dependent on coal.
Yep.
The barge traffic is dependent on coal. Diesel fuel, what I meant to say.
Yep.
We'd be in really deep trouble really quick and very vulnerable as far as national security as well.
Well, and again, here we are. We are at a crisis point, I believe. Everywhere we look, we're facing famine. We're facing war. You've got people. You've been talking about the possibility of war, of nuclear detonation, of EMPs. I mean, you've been talking about all of this
for quite a while.
Yeah. So I mean, we're in trouble.
We're in deep trouble. We need to remind people of the speech given by the top Chinese general, the Minister of Defense, about 20 years ago, where he outlined his plan to colonize America with no Americans. We need to remind people of the book written by two Chinese army, communist Chinese army colonels, Unrestricted Warfare, where they list the 17 or 20 different ways to wage war and succeed against the United States. All these things have not gone away. And we continue to treat China as if they're a trusted ally. And we have a president who's been supported financially by the communist Chinese since he first ran for U.S. Senate all those years ago. We have a vice president who probably is a genuine communist by just by her associations, if nothing else. We have a the Speaker of the House and her husband who have deep financial interest and ties to the Chinese. It's a perfect storm, Doug. If conservative Christian Republicans do in fact control the House of Representatives, it's not complete victory for us, but it's a step on the path to victory. We have an election for a president in just over 2 years, 2 years and a few weeks. There's a lot going on here, a lot at stake, Doug. And I want to applaud Fox News for supporting these conservative Christians running for public office around the country for governor and senator and House of Representatives. They've been doing a spectacular job, and I hope their influence helps a lot. We need to keep emphasizing to people how important it is to get out a week from tomorrow to vote, Doug. They have to get out on the 8th day of November. It may be inconvenient. The weather may be bad. You have to get child care. You have somebody do child care. You need transportation. Provide transportation for somebody that needs it. Provide child care for somebody that needs it. Make sure they get to the polls and vote. Locally here, Doug, in my county, a Republican woman was running for a judge, and her immediate blood family did not vote for her. She lost by 8 votes. Her immediate blood family was more than 8 votes. They were too busy. Busy people. They were too busy. They didn't vote for their own blood relative to become judge. And she lost, and we had a very liberal Democratic judge for the next several years. We no longer, in Crawford County, Missouri, we no longer have a single Democratic office holder in any position. We simply don't.
I'll tell you what, I would drive a bus, okay, if necessary, to get people to the polls, because I do believe that. Only because, and John, I'm going to say this, only because I want to look my Creator in the eye, my God, the God of the Bible, and say, you know what, I did everything to the letter before all hell broke loose on earth. And, look, because I believe if we don't prevail now, and if we don't prevail in 2 years from now, and everything in between, I believe that we are going to be looking at generations, if there are any left, of intense suffering. But I want to be right with my God, and that's why I'm going to vote. Hey, I played by the rules, and before everything went sideways, I played by the rules. I did what was asked of me. That's why I'm voting.
Okay. Well, Doug, I want to do a segue here to something that came up last week, and it was a study done by some scientists in Europe, in Switzerland. I need to find my notes here, about the consequences of the clot shot. And what they found was the substance in your blood, and I'm looking it up here. Here it is. Troponin, that's Tango, Romeo, Oscar, Papa, Oscar, November, India, November. Troponin. It, in your blood, naturally, it safe amounts are 0 to 0.4 nanograms per milliliter. That's in a normal person, which is almost none. If you've had heart damage and it goes to 0.5, that's a clear indicator that you've had heart damage. What the Swiss scientists found, Doug, was that of the 777 men and women, they tested their blood. All 707, that they all had the clot shot, by the way, all 777 had an elevated troponin substance in their blood, which only happens after heart damage. This is a game changer, Doug, because we now have something we never had before. But what we had before was people have a heart attack. People would have myocarditis. People would have blood clots. What we didn't have before was a way to tell beforehand if people had suffered heart damage. We now have that. Most Americans, most adults in this country, many anyway, possibly most, have a yearly medical examination, which almost always include blood testing. Now, you can ask your doctor if you had the COVID clot shot. You can ask your doctor to please include testing for that substance as well. You may be completely asymptomatic, but if you've got troponin in your blood, that means you've had damage to your heart. And it's good to be proactive. The damage may be slight, it may be severe, but there is damage if you've got that substance in your bloodstream. And personally, I would want to know myself. I would not want to be left guessing whether it had been damage to my heart or not. I'll be recommending my daughter and son-in-law have that done themselves because they've got the COVID vaccination and several boosters as well. And I'll be recommending it to everybody so they can get a heads up and make some plans. Maybe make, if you're in your 40s or 50s and you don't think you're going to die for another 20 to 30 plus years, you may not have life insurance. You may not have a will, a last will and testament. Things that people typically don't do until later in life. Younger people, even in their 30s and 20s. Doug, you probably aren't aware of this, but you know, the millennium generation, millennials are 19 to 40 years old. In the past 12 months, they've had more millennials die unexpectedly than died during the entire 10 years of the Vietnam War. About 61,000 millennials have died, most likely as a consequence of the clot shot, where we had 55,000 Americans die during the entire 10 years of the Vietnam War. So it's already happening. It's already happening, but this is a game changer. I get a blood test probably twice a year on the recommendation of my doctor. He's now ordered this troponin test for me, and I'm not going to ask him to because I haven't got the clot shot. I'm not at risk. We have three kinds of listeners here, Doug, that have got the clot shot. Those who thought it was a dandy thing and got it on their own. Those who got it because they had no choice, at least they felt that way, to keep their employment. And others who were just plain fearful and got it out of ignorance. All are at risk. Now, many of these folks very likely got saline solution, got basically sterile water injected into their bloodstream, which if that happened, that's good. If they get the test for troponin, they'll find out if they've been healthy so far. Maybe they were one of the lucky ones and they got the saline solution instead of the actual killer juice. So it's a game changer. The article is in my website at thelibertyman.com.
I was just going to say that. Yep. Go to thelibertyman.com, folks. The link will be in the program description box at hagmanreport.com. Just want to make sure you know that. The web presence for Mr. John Moore. There he is, by the way, on his sickle. And, of course, looking dashing as usual, both in a military jump uniform as well as his everyday duds. But there you go. Make sure you listen to all of his broadcasts as well and scroll down for news items and support him through everything that he's got there, whether it's direct sales or affiliate. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Tiger, I have an announcement.
Please.
Because Elon Musk, I got two announcements, because Elon Musk bought Twitter, I opened a Twitter account myself. And this is how you get to it. I think you can read this. Dare Liberty 5. And if you follow me, I will follow you. I found out recently, Doug, that I can do video on Twitter. And I'll be doing my radio broadcast, a simulcast with a video on Twitter beginning in a week or two as soon as my assistant figures it out. And that's my second announcement. I am engaged to get married, Doug.
No.
Oh, I am. Yep. I am.
Eric the Tech. Can I ask?
My first public announcement. on your show. I did not announce them on my show, but I am gay to be married.
Do I know this person?
No, you don't.
Get that off there, Eric the Tech. Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry. Well, congratulations.
Well, she's a lovely lady. She's quite a bit younger than me, but older than my daughter.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. So it's been a dramatic change in my life, and I'm really grateful that she's in my life, we're looking forward to a long, prosperous, healthy life together.
Wow.
Thank you.
Are you?
Text me your address. I'll send you an invitation. Put it in the message.
I love it. Are you planning a big wedding?
It started out small, but it's gained momentum. These things have a way of taking on. It'll be a little country church, and it's not going to be huge.
Okay.
It'll be the reception in the basement of the church. Not a big deal.
Folks, an end of the, well, a beginning of an era, as well as an end of an era. John Moore getting married. When's the date? Do we know?
It'll be the 7th day of January.
All right. Starting out 2023 with a bang.
Right.
Wow. John Moore.
We got two invitations, one to the Dominican Republic for a week, the other to a condo in Miami Beach, and another one at a guest house in Texas. We'll see.
Wow, I'm stunned. Folks, you heard it here, just like I did. John Moore getting married.
How about that? Yeah.
Well, congrats to the bride-to-be and to John Moore. And, oh, my gosh, this is exciting. And, wow.
Wow, yeah, that's wild. Great. Yeah.
Well, you deserve happiness.
Well, thank you, sir. I don't want to dwell on it too long, but I'm quite happy and quite satisfied.
Wow.
Yeah, Doug, let's go back to Twitter for a moment. Elon Musk began negotiations last spring to buy Twitter. A lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth among the left, among the what I call the socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims, that Twitter would become a free town square forum, which Elon Musk intends for it to become. And so he owns it as of last week. He fired the CEO. The CFO, the chief financial officer, and I think some others, is probably going to be a lot of heads rolling. And I say good riddance. Twitter has become something massive. When I first started hearing about it, I thought, what is this silliness? And people sending tweets back and forth. I had no clue what it was or eventually what it had become. But now I understand it. And it's something that I'll be participating in, and it is the town square. That's what Twitter has become, is a town square. I may revisit YouTube. We dropped YouTube almost 2 years ago, but we may be revisiting it. And I should mention also, in addition to Rumble Archives, I'm back on Brighteon. My new assistant webmaster is a lot more energetic than the regular guy, who's a great guy, but he had limited energy. So
that's making great.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, you're on Brighteon, or you will be?
I am. We're back up.
Okay. Both. So, and you're in Rumble?
Brighteon and Rumble.
Okay. Because we're on both, Brighteon and Rumble. And you're now on Twitter, just to make sure I got this right, at JRLiberty5, the number 5, right?
All right. I'll hold that up so people can read it.
All right. Look at that, folks. At JRLiberty and the number 5. To follow John on Twitter. Okay, that's fantastic. Plus, he's out of the dating pool, ladies. So
I am out of the dating pool.
Okay.
It was interesting being in my mid-70s, healthy, with all my teeth, and I can drive at night. And
some standards there.
Yeah, well...
I love it. You know, what a joyous thing to announce on the program, and I thank you for that. And all the muck and misery that we have, and here we are.
Life goes on, Doug.
Yes, it does. John, thanks so much. God bless you.
A month from today?
Yeah, I've got to double check my schedule, but yeah, let's plan on that at the very least. All right.
Thank you, Doug. We'll look forward to it.
All right.
God bless you, and may you be at the best of health.
God bless. Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. John Moore. Wow, John, we're getting married, and good night.